I one time went to this service, and these services were going on for like 8 or 9 weeks straight every night. And I went to the service, and I walked in, and it wasn't like normal church. I remember I walked in, and people were coming from everywhere. And the atmosphere was charged. It felt like it was charged with electricity. And I was like, whoa, people are actually excited to come to church. And I just felt that. And it brought me back one time. I went on a cruise. It was my first and only cruise I've ever been on. And I went with Destiny's family. And I remember we went and we're there, and we do the whole process of checking in. And when you live in California, you live like 30 minutes from the port. So, hey, if you have a weekend free, get on a cruise, a little special. They're a really good price. You can go on a cruise. Don't look at me like that. I know you can't just do that here, okay? You have to fly and do all that. So we went on a cruise, my first time ever. And I remember we went through the whole check-in process. We're not even on the boat yet. And this is my first time. I'm just like a country boy, you know. This is exciting for me. I see the ocean. That's beautiful. I'm just excited just to be there. And I remember we're checking in. We're in this big room, not fancy, kind of ugly room. You have to give them your name. They'll give you the room you're staying. You're not even on the boat yet. And I'm looking around, and people are dressed funny. They have their little fedora hats on. They got their tank tops on. They got their shorts on. People, they got their straw hats on. And they're excited, and they're expecting a vacation. And we're not on the boat yet, and the place is electric. Everyone's excited. Hey, I'm going to hang out with you tonight. We're going to go to the jacuzzi tonight. Everyone's excited. And I'm just looking around. I'm taking this all in. And I told Destiny, it feels like vacation in here. We're not on the boat yet, but it feels like vacation in here. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That's how I want my services to be. Not like vacation, but that atmosphere, that expectation. I'm here for something. I'm going to get what I need. I'm going to get a touch from God. Those people were expecting something. Those people were in faith about something. I'm going to have a cruise vacation. They probably were marking it off their calendar. XXX can't wait for vacation. This day I'll go on the cruise. And literally you could feel that excitement. You could feel that expectation. Amen. Do I have any people in here tonight expecting some big things? Not even just tonight, but this year. Some big and marvelous things. Some big breakthroughs. And it's nothing that you did on your own, but just God showing up in your life. A wow. Wow, God. Only you. I'm expecting that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not about our glory. It's about His glory. Amen. And He wants to use your life to bring Him glory. He wants to use you to bring glory. It doesn't glorify God when you're walking around broke. It doesn't glorify God when you're walking around sick. It doesn't glorify God when you're walking around depressed and sad. Nothing ever goes right for you. That does not glorify God. That glorifies the devil. But we are called to glorify God. Hallelujah. I believe there's a major breakthrough that's going to be happening in some of your lives this year. Major breakthrough. And God will get all the glory. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for that breakthrough, that shift, that suddenly, Father God, and all the glory goes to you. And those are not just lyrics to a song, but I say, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire in all of us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Are you glad to be in church tonight? You could be somewhere else, but you are in church tonight in the house of God. And it's so good that even something right now in the spirit is happening when you're here together as a corporate body, when you're here with your brother and your sister in this atmosphere. No wonder in the Bible it says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. And things that you don't even realize are happening when you just come to church and not just watch online. It's easy to just stay at your house, but when you make an effort, God sees that. God sees the effort of you coming here, getting out in the cold, maybe having to, you know, ice the windows, start the car. You coming here, and God, he sees all of that. One time I had a day, and I was just really, the enemy was fighting me. This was a few years ago. He was really fighting me. I was kind of discouraged, and I was, you know, talking to Destiny. I left a lot. I left a lot in Branson. I felt like I was doing bigger and better things, and now I'm here, now look at me, and I know I obeyed the voice of the Lord to come out to California. It seems like nothing's happening, and I just kept saying that phrase. I left a lot. And then I said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. I repent, you know. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about. You guys don't ever have those days. But just listen to me for a minute. No. But I went to church that night. And I was in worship just like how we were right now. And I was just worshiping God. And I heard this in my spirit. Brandon, I left a lot too. And I saw in Philippians how he left heaven, Jesus, and came down to earth, stripped himself to nothing. And I just heard this, I left a lot too. And I said, I have no reason to complain. Jesus stripped himself and became a servant, left heaven for you and I. And I'm honored to be with you guys here in Kelowna. And I'm not just here just to be here. Just to talk and, you know, say, see you later and go. But I'm here expecting something. I'm going after God that tonight will be a time that we will never forget. The word that comes forth that it will forever change our lives. Amen. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Don't you love it how, do you guys have your Bibles? Some Bibles are glowing, fully charged. I like that. I like it how the Bible will totally reach you. If you notice that sometimes, you know, I'm getting in the Word and I think it's maybe for Destiny. I'm going to find something in there for Destiny, you know, and I can tell her. And every time it's about me. You correct this. I saw this scripture. It's a great scripture for us, for the guys. Listen to this. In Ephesians, it talks about the way your wife looks and the way she's taken care of is a reflection of how you love yourself. So you want to, you know, you take care of your wife. That's just a bonus. But I love how the Bible will read you. And this is how this came about. I was just studying this and just reading it. And the Lord spoke to me some truths. And I believe it will help us here in Kelowna tonight. Amen. So Jesus he's died on the cross. He's in the tomb. In verse 2, it says this. So Mark chapter 16, verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the tomb at the rising of the sun. It was 50 below zero. They had to plug in their cars for them to start. They had their parkas on. All right, so they go up to the rising of the sun. They go up to the tomb. The sun's coming up. So this is an all-night trip, pitch black. So think about this. They go. They make this adventure in the dark. They don't have a car. They don't have a truck. No telling how they got there, and they get to the tomb, and right when they get there, the morning sun is just coming up. In verse 3, they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the tomb?" I think it's very interesting. I was just reading this and looking at this. I think it's very interesting how they said that right when they're already there at the tomb. They didn't, you know, stay at their house, stay in their bed and say, "You know what? I want to go anoint the body of Jesus. I know that's what's on my heart, but guess what, God? You should know this. There's a big stone in the way. And I know I've been working out. I know I've been strong, but I don't think I can move that stone. But God, you know my heart. I'm just going to stay here." No, they did what God had put on their heart. "We're going to anoint the body of Jesus. Yes, there is a stone in the way." Because right when they arrive, the morning sun coming up, they said among themselves, "Who's going to roll away this stone?" If I had these guys right here, I would just say they're going to take care of it. They can roll it away. You too, Pastor Dieter. I meant you too. I was like that. So who's going to roll it away? In verse 4, "And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." So if the Bible says it's very great, it was huge. The Bible doesn't just use words. They looked, and as they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away. And I think this is interesting. I think this applies to all of us tonight. And here's the lesson in it. When God tells you to do something, even though it might seem like it's impossible in your eyes, even though it might seem like there's a big stone in the way and you can't in your own strength move it, just say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do what you've called me to do, and I'll make a step even though in the natural I can't do anything about it." That's what they did. In their own strength, they can't move away that stone. But they went, they get there, they said, "Who's going to roll the stone away?" And then when they looked, it was rolled away. And when you say yes to God, when you just, and it doesn't have to be with the big things. It can be with the small things. There's no difference. If the Holy Spirit tells you to go to the supermarket and you're there and you're walking around and you see someone and the Lord just tells you, "Hey, just say, how's your day going? How's your day going? Good, good, good." Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And things that have been blocking your path that God has, you know, paid for you, the things the enemy has tried to use to block it, to make it look impossible, those things will be rolled away. Amen. I had a situation just a few months ago, a living situation. I was in a real comfortable place. And the Lord spoke to me, "I want you to leave this place and I want you to get a place in Hollywood." And I don't even want to tell you how much rent cost in Hollywood. Some of you guys, this is pretty high too as well. But in the natural, it looked impossible. In the natural, it was a huge rock in front of me. But I just had to say, "Yes, Lord." And when I said, "Yes, Lord," and I made that effort, I took that step, all those rocks I had in my own life of unbelief, all those rocks of my own life I had of being, "What if I don't make it 1 month?" Or all these thoughts that you may try to throw against me. When I just said, "Yes, Lord," I saw rock after rock move. And I saw God taking care of my wife and I over and over. Just saying yes to Jesus and being a yielded vessel for him. And just do whatever he tells you to do. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, I know there's a story, and this lady, she was eaten up with cancer. She was given off to die. And he goes, and him and the pastors, they're praying for her. And all of a sudden they're praying, and the Lord speaks to him, "I want you to do this." So he does it, and she gets instantly healed. And they're in Texas, and he talked about how they went outside and they ate cold watermelon. God healed her. And the Lord spoke to him and said, if you didn't obey me with that $10 that you gave, this would have never happened. So he shared a story about how he was a pastor at the time, and this evangelist came in, and the Lord spoke to him, give him $10. That's a lot of money back then, the 40s. Give him $10. He said that was like all his whole paycheck. So he gave the $10, and the Lord spoke to him, if you would have never obeyed me with that $10, this lady right here being healed would have never happened. Just saying yes to God and doing what he has called you and what he has told you to do, whether if it looks big in your eyes or small in your eyes, just saying yes to God. Amen. And not just being obedient, but be willing. I'm not going to just obey what you're telling me, God, but I'm going to have a willing heart. Amen. Me being in California, I know the Lord's called me there, but in the natural, I it's not really my thing. I'd rather be where I'm from, but I know the Lord has called me, and I always have to tell myself, Brandon, you can't just be obedient, but you have to be willing. And that means I can't make fun of California. I can't, you know, see things and say, this state is up to no good and get off on that. I have to have a willing heart. God, you have me here. California has a rich spiritual history. Yeah, there's a lot of funny people, but God's going to touch those funny people. And I'm not going to just have an obedient heart, but I'm going to be willing. It says in the Bible, be willing and obedient, and you shall eat the good of the land. Not just eat the good of the land, but drive the good of the land. Have the good of the land if you have a willing and obedient heart. So that's right now. I'm in the process of that. So keep me in your prayers. I have a willing and obedient heart. Amen. God is so good. He's so faithful. So they go. The stone has been rolled away. I want us to look here in verse 5. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. I like this. Every time people encounter the supernatural, angels, Jesus, you always hear this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because we serve a God of power. We serve a supernatural God, a God that is alive, a God that is moving in on the scene. It's not a God far up in heaven, doesn't know who you are, doesn't even know your name. It's a God that loves you. No wonder in the Bible it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? We serve a supernatural, living God, a God of power, a God that doesn't have to, you know, work through the natural realm, but he can use birds like Elijah and drop him food every morning. That kind of God. A supernatural God. A God that will speak to people to help you. A God that will speak to your boss to give you a bonus. That kind of God. If he has to shake people in the night, he will do it. We serve a supernatural God. And we are called to be supernatural people. We're not called to be like everybody else, sad, natural-minded. We are supernatural people. And every time people have encounter, you hear this, be not afraid, be not afraid. Can you imagine you have this encounter from God? The whole atmosphere changes. The lights are really bright. And it's not a light show going on. A heavenly encounter. We better get used to this. We're going to be spending the rest of our lives, eternity, in heaven. We're going to see some amazing things. We're going to feel some amazing things. We're going to be walking on gold streets. I travel with a man, a minister, and he was in ministry for 50 years. And when he was 18, he died. He was driving and he hit there was a semi-truck illegally parked in Texas. It was on the oil field. It was completely covered in oil, black, and he hits it. They were singing worship songs as he was driving. He said, "Brandon, all I can tell you, I was out of the car. I was above my body, and angels were around me and took him to heaven." And when he goes to heaven, he sees his best friend. His best friend was killed in an automotive crash. His head was decapitated. His friend is there, and he greeted him and takes him on a tour of heaven. And I would go with him, and he would share about his encounter of heaven and what he saw, how he went into the river, and he could breathe underneath the water. And he said he would grab rocks on the bottom, and he said, "Big golden nuggets bigger than my fist, diamonds I would grab." And he'd always say this: "If you have a problem with prosperity, you're going to hate heaven." Everywhere. And he talked about what he saw and what he encountered. And he saw Jesus. And Jesus told him, "You have to go back. She's using that name." And it was his sister saying, "In the name of Jesus, I will not lose my brother." He was 18 years old. "In Jesus' name, I won't lose my brother." And Jesus said, "You have to go back. She's using the name. She's using my name." So he went back. He had a crush. He had a broken back, broken neck. His voice box was crushed. His face was ripped off. He had to go through countless surgeries. And just for him to speak was a miracle. And he would travel with his x-rays and show people. He's supposed to be in a wheelchair. He's supposed to never talk. But when he's back in the hospital, the nurse comes to him. But before that happened, Jesus walked in. Jesus walked in and put his hands on his throat and just walked out. And he could speak. So the nurse came that morning and said, "Hey, good morning. How are you doing, sir?" He goes, "I'm great. I'm healed." She threw the tray down and screamed. So he traveled for 50 years. People knew his story. He was on all these television shows telling his testimony because Jesus gave him an assignment. "I want you to make heaven real to people. People need to know about heaven. It's a real place. That's where we're going to live for eternity." So that's what he would do. And people challenged him all the time. "I don't know if that's true. I think that's fake." So an FBI investigator investigated him and his story. And he used to say he was dead for, I think, like 10 minutes. But this FBI investigator who wrote the foreword of his book found out he was dead for over an hour. By the doctors, dead. And he comes back. But he would talk about the supernatural. He would talk about heaven. And we are supernatural people. And we serve a supernatural God. Hallelujah. So they see this, they have this encounter. "Be not afraid." "Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." I like it what it says in Matthew 28, the Passion. It says this: "Suddenly the earth shook violently beneath their feet as the angel of the Lord Jehovah descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him as his robe was dazzling white. The guards were stunned and terrified, lying motionless like dead men. Then the angel walked up to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and sat on top of it." I like that. These big bad guards, there to protect the tomb. They see the angel of the Lord Jehovah, our God. They see the angel come down, and they were scared, and they fell down, terrified, and they acted like they were dead. We serve a supernatural God. So the message, the angel says, Jesus is not here. He's alive. He is risen. The cross did not defeat Jesus. The grave did not defeat Jesus. He is alive. I know you came here to anoint him, but he is not here. And this is what Jesus was called to do. And I shared about that a little bit last night. He was called to be the perfect sacrifice for sin and sickness for all of us. He didn't come here for people to like him. He didn't come here to be popular. He didn't come here to be praised. He didn't come here to be the natural king. It says after the feeding of the 5,000 in John, it says they wanted to anoint Jesus king, and he disappeared into the mountain to pray. Because that was not his assignment. His assignment was to die for us and to take what we deserve. And now we can become the righteousness of God, not on our own efforts, but what Jesus has done for you and I. It says in the Bible he could have called on legions of angels, but he didn't. Why? Because he knew what he was called to do. A legion of angels, one angel we know in the Bible took out 185,000 men. So one legion is a minimum of 6,000. So you do some math, and 6,000 times 185,000, it's like 1,100,000,000, one legion of angels. And it says he could have called on 12 legions of angels. That's over 13 billion people those angels could wipe out. The face of humanity could have been wiped out like this if Jesus would have just said the word. And it says that that's not enough. Jesus could have called on more, but he didn't, because he died for you and I. And like it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the passion, it says the joy he had of knowing you and I would be his. That's why we have to give him our everything. That's why we have to give him our heart. That's why we have to give him our time. And it's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. And you were created to give him everything. And you were created to be on fire for Jesus. You weren't created to be lukewarm, but you were created to be on fire for Jesus and be an advertisement of Jesus everywhere we go. That people will see, what is it that they have? How do they have that presence on them? How do they have a smile on their face? It's Jesus. And I'm in love with him. And he loves you. And you need to give your life to him. Amen. No matter where we're at, the grocery store, the gas station, we're in love with Jesus. Amen. One time we were at a grocery store, and we were outside, and we were, you know, eating, and there's this lady, it was around Christmas time, and this lady, she was ringing the bells, you know, and saying Merry Christmas to people, and she had such a joy on her face. She was so happy. The joy of the Lord really was her strength. I was admiring her, like, wow, she is great. Her smile, and she's saying Merry Christmas, and people are just walking past her, rolling their eyes at her, really mean to her. And I said, Destiny, I'm going to talk to that lady. And I said, hey, I just want to say something. You're the best greeter I've ever seen. You're way better than greeters at church. No, just joking. I didn't say that. You're the best greeter I've ever seen. You have such a smile on your face. And she says this, thank you so much. I just love Jesus. And she said, I'm believing God for a miracle. And I said, really? Tell me. She goes, I broke my leg in 1995. I've had multiple surgeries on it, and it has never healed right, and I can't walk on it. But she said this. She said, I've been picturing myself walking again. She said, I know I'm going to walk. And this is what came out of my spirit. Today is your day. I said, why did you say that, Brandon? Today is your day. And she goes, I knew it, I knew it. She started crying, and I said, okay, well, me, first of all, I'm not the healer. It's him using us, amen. Don't need to look at your own self, your own abilities. It's him working through you. So I prayed. She was so full of joy. And I prayed and she started walking and she's like, it's a little better. It's a little better. I said, well, you're going to leave perfect in Jesus' name. I prayed for her and God healed her. She started walking perfectly, screaming. She's like, I'm healed. I'm healed. And people were all coming. It's around the Christmas time. And she's pointing at me, telling people, he healed me. I said, no, he healed you. But the presence of God fell down in that place. Destiny can tell you, the presence, the anointing, just like right now. It was like we had a worship service. It was like Michael was up there playing his guitar. Jessica playing the keys. It was a powerful time. And people didn't know how to handle it. They were walking by, just strangers, and you could tell they were like, what is going on? God took over that grocery store sidewalk. And I thought this, here's probably a husband, hasn't been to church in years. His wife says, honey, go get me some bread. Fine, I will. He goes, and God, a complete Holy Ghost secret attack, here he shows up, and the presence of God's there. And you could tell they didn't know how to handle it. But God's love showed up there at the supermarket. That's what I'm talking about. And there's been times, too, where I'm walking and you know, I'm just being really led by the Spirit. And there's a guy there, and he's standing there very rough. And next thing you know, I'm right by him, and I'm talking to him. What's going on? What's your situation? God loves you. And I'm thinking, my mind is saying, what are you doing? But God using us to be that example, to be that advertisement of his love and his glory. And there's been a lot of Christians that have advertised some really bad things. Man, when I'm around them, they're always so cranky. Man, they just have a little attitude. They think they're better than everyone else. No, we don't need to be advertising that. We need to carry and leak out the presence of God. Just like Peter in Acts chapter 4, the presence of God was so on him that people knew it, and they got sick people and said, just his shadow will touch them and they'll be made whole. What was it? Was it the shadow? No, it was what was projecting, what Peter was carrying. He was carrying the presence, the healing power of God. And people wanted to get around it. Amen. But we serve a God of power. Isn't God good? So verse 7. Here's the message the angel gives to them, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. So Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to see you again. So the angel tells him, go tell the disciples and Peter, Jesus is going to see you again. So they did. Verse 10. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. I was thinking. So they show up. They say, we seen the angel. The angel said, Jesus is alive. He's going to see you soon. And they're there crying and weeping. Jesus already said, I'm going to see you soon. These great men of faith, crying and weeping, and it says they don't even believe them. So I was thinking, I was reading this and meditating on this. There's hope for us, people of faith. Things that look impossible, things that God has spoken into your heart, and you don't believe it. They didn't believe it. Great men of faith, with Jesus all these years, they're crying and weeping. They get the message, he's alive, he's going to see you soon, and they don't believe them. There's hope for us. Dreams God's put in your heart. Things that you want to see in your life come to pass. That God has put in there and you don't believe it will come to pass. Or you just put it on the shelf and forget it because you've been so disappointed before. But I want to call those forth tonight that you'll believe that you'll be a person full of faith. Amen? So verse 14. Afterward, Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. And I want us to look here. What does Jesus do? The first thing Jesus does, can you imagine? They're eating. Jesus shows up. And the first thing Jesus does is he gets on to them. It says he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believe not them which have been seen after he was risen. How these go together, hardness of heart and unbelief. And the Amplified, it says, Jesus went to each of them and made them give an account. Why is your heart so hard? And why are you so full of unbelief? And how today Jesus, how God and Jesus, they don't want us to have a hard heart. And we're not called to be carrying any unbelief. How it made Jesus upset. Why is your heart so hard? And why are you so full of unbelief? And there's so many Christians walking around with a hard heart, with walls up, so full of unbelief. We are called to be tender-hearted towards God, and we are called to be full of faith. And the Lord spoke to me. I was, like I said, how the Bible reads you. I was reading this, and I was thinking, wow, Jesus getting on to them, unbelief and hardness of heart. And the Lord spoke to me, Brandon, your heart's hard. I said, wow, Lord, show me. And he has. I'll show you at the very end what he showed me. But we are called to be tender-hearted towards God so we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit at all times. And we are called to be people of faith. Amen? How the dictionary defines harden as this: cold, insensitive, unfeeling, and unyielding. An unyielded heart, an unyielded heart to the Holy Spirit is a hard heart. A cold heart towards God, where you're not on fire, is a hard heart. We're not called to have any hard hearts. But I want to talk about this. We are called to be yielded people, yielded vessels, where we yield ourselves to God. And it doesn't look like this. Oh, man, another church service. I would never go to, I know Pastor Diana said all those church services in a row. Man, that'd be so boring. I couldn't think about that. Man, that's not being yielded. You put yourself in a place where even though you don't feel anything, you put yourself, whether if you're at your house, you put worship music on and you're on your knees and you put your hands up. And you might not feel a thing, but you're yielded to God. Yield, put yourself in a position of yieldedness. Amen. Recently, I was in a service and I was on the front row, and the person came and prayed for me, and I felt something pull me to the ground, the presence of God, the power of God. But I've never been the person to get on my knees and in front of everyone on the ground and put my hands up. And I felt something pull me to the ground. And then that person grabs me and throws me on the ground. And next thing you know, I'm one of those people on the ground. But the Lord got on to me. He said, Brandon, I've been wanting to do that with you, but you haven't been yielding yourself. You've been just sitting there trying to, you know, be in your chair all great, but you need to yield what I want to do in your life. Whether if you're on your knees in front of everybody, putting your arms up, to what I want to do in you. Amen. So unbelief is not something we should take lightly. How in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, it talks about an evil heart of unbelief. The Bible calls unbelief evil. An evil heart of unbelief. How unbelief will limit your faith. It'll hinder your faith. Unbelief will stop what God is doing in your life. Unbelief is having faith in the devil, where you're so full of unbelief. The children of Israel, They had the land. The land of Canaan. And it says they went, Caleb and Joshua and the 10 other spies, they come, they see the land, it's amazing, but they come back and they say, you know what, the land's amazing, it's overflowing with milk and honey, but there's some giants there, we can't take it, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And it says this, Caleb and Joshua silenced the people. And it says that those 10 spies brought back an evil report. What was the report? A report of unbelief. And the Bible called it evil. And Caleb silenced the people. He said, stop, stop, stop. Just like faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, so does unbelief. The more you talk about unbelief, the more you talk about all the problems in your life, it's just making them grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And it says, Caleb silenced the people. Yeah, stop talking about them. I know they all work out. I know they're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. But God said, this is our land. Stop talking about all the unbelief. Stop talking about how we can't do it. We can do it because God told us we can. And how even some of you believe in God for that house, and the devil's saying, that's too good of a house for you. That's too big for you. You can't do it. Shut up, devil. God said, it's mine. He's going to bless me. I'll take it. Unbelief. And it says they brought back an evil report. How even the people already heard about them, what God was doing for them. And it says in Joshua 2:9, it says this. This says, they knew God has given you this land and great fear has fallen on us. God was already preparing. Great fear was already falling on those big giants. But instead of them taking it by faith and saying, yes, Lord, they went back and unbelief stopped what God wanted to give them right there. And we don't know the other 10 spies who brought back an evil report, but we know about two. Caleb and Joshua, and they brought a report of faith. That's us. We are called to be people of faith. And faith does not go by what it sees, what it feels, or what it hears. Faith goes by what it believes and what God has said. And it says in the Bible, Caleb had another spirit. What was that spirit? Spirit of faith, a spirit of courage, a spirit of saying, yes, God, I'll do it. Whatever you said, you've already made the way. Another spirit. We are called to have another spirit. Amen? Another spirit. How a hard heart grieves the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it talks about, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And it says, be tenderhearted towards the Holy Spirit. So if you're walking around with a hard heart, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Psalm 78, it says this, God speaking, talk about the children of Israel in the desert. It says this, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God doesn't just want your talk. He wants your heart. He looks at your heart. Like David, he says, I look at the heart. In Mark 6, Jesus is speaking in his own hometown. He's preaching. Faith is filling atmosphere. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It says people were amazed. They marveled at his wisdom. And it says they marveled at the miracles that took place. And then they started thinking naturally. They said, he's just a carpenter. We know his dad. We know his mom. And it hindered that atmosphere. And it said Jesus could there do no mighty work. And Jesus marveled at their unbelief. So unbelief crept in. Faith was filling the atmosphere. People were amazed, and then they started thinking naturally. He's just like one of us. He's from our hometown. How can this be happening? And it says Jesus marveled at their unbelief, and it hindered what Jesus wanted to do in his own hometown. But Jesus says, the next verse, he went around teaching in all the other villages. So he went around teaching faith other places. But what Jesus wanted to do in his own hometown, unbelief hindered the atmosphere. And I want to say this tonight. We are called to be people with a faith in our God and be so, so tender hearted. We're not called to carry any walls. We're not called to have a hard heart. We're not called to carry any unforgiveness in our life. It will limit what God wants to do in you. Amen. Romans 4, verse 19, talking about Abraham, it says this, and Abraham, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body. So he didn't look at his own body. He didn't look at what he could do. Now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So what's one of the ways you can stagger what God wants to do in your life is when you're full of unbelief. And I want us to leave tonight with every ounce of unbelief completely gone in Jesus' name, where we have a faith in God. So he didn't stagger at that promise from God through unbelief. He tried his own efforts before and he got an Ishmael out of it. God says, I'm going to give you an Isaac. So what you can do on your own efforts won't be the thing that God wants to do in your life. But you put your faith in him, he'll give you that promise. He'll give you that breakthrough, bigger than you can even imagine. But it says this, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. We are called to be strong in faith, giving glory to God. And verse 21 says this, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I like that. It says, Abraham was fully persuaded. We need to be fully persuaded. What God has promised in our lives, he will perform it. Not us, God will perform it. A fully persuaded Christian. Not half-hearted, not going through the motions, not trying to act like you have it all together and you show up Sunday morning and you leave and you're going through the battle all week and you don't know what to do and you don't spend time reading your Bible, you don't spend time in worship. No, you need to have a fully persuaded faith in God. And that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That comes by looking at what the Lord says, promises, and you read it, and you stand on it, and even though your mind says, I don't believe it, you keep on reading, and faith will come. And you say, I believe it, amen? A fully persuaded faith in God. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 6. Isn't God good? Fully persuaded faith in God. So we know this story, a little boy's lunch. They took a little boy's lunch. Jesus is preaching in the desert. His disciples come up to him and said, Master, all these people are here. Send them away. You know, this is a desert place. They need to eat something. And Jesus gives them a command. He says, you give them something to eat. You do it. Verse 37, he says this. He answered and said unto them, you give them something to eat. You notice Jesus didn't say, how much money do you guys have, boys? Get all your pocket change out. What can you do here? No, he just gives the word, you give them something to eat. If they would have taken that, if they would have been so full of faith and said, yeah, we will. In the name of Jesus, we'll do it. No, they start thinking naturally. This is going to take a half a year's wages. We don't have this kind of money. There's no way we can do this. And we know what Jesus does. He goes, what do you have? They take a little boy's lunch. They blessed it, and they started passing it out. Just like when you take your money, you take your seed, and you sow it It's the same process. When you sow it, the multiplication begins. It didn't start happening right when they had it, but when they started passing it out, an impossible situation became possible with 12 baskets left over. Amen. So I want to speak over you tonight, things that you've sown, maybe some of you with time, helping other people, and you never saw that fruit yet, or money, it's coming forth with an overflow, 12 baskets left over this year. Do you believe that? Take that word. I believe that. In all of our lives, amen? So what a miracle. Everyone's fed. Everyone's taken care of. In verse 45, it says this, "And Jesus, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side." So Jesus tells his disciples, get into the ship and go into the other side. He doesn't say, well, I hope you guys make it. If you don't make it, you know, it's good to be with you guys. I love you. What do you mean to do if you guys do crash? No, he says, go to the other side. Jesus gave the command, I'll see you on the other side. And when Jesus tells you something, when Jesus promises you something, whether you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit tell you or you see it in the Word, you take that with a heart full of faith. Every time I get on an airplane, I always say, this plane will pass over from here, from Kelowna to Toronto. We won't have any problems. We'll pass over to the other side. So Jesus gave that command, I'll see you on the other side. And it says this, that Jesus, he sent them away, verse 46, and he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So Jesus shows up. Jesus is on the mountain. He sees what they're going through. The Lord sees sometimes what you're going through today. And you're never, ever alone. He sees these faith tests that you have, and you're never alone. So Jesus shows up, and he's walking on the water. He's walking on the very problem that they think is going to take them out. Jesus literally has the sea he's walking on. It's under his feet. And let me tell you, anything that you're battling, anything the enemy tries to throw against you, it's under his feet. And it says that Jesus would have passed by him. And they cried out unto him. And he says, hey, don't be afraid. But the passion, it says this. I think this is key. It says this. Don't yield to fear, have courage. And that is a decision we have to make. Me, myself included, every day. Brandon, don't yield to fear, have courage. What if I have bills coming up? I don't yield to fear, I have courage. I have a faith in God. What about when I have a pain in my elbow and I go on the internet and I say, I have a pain in my elbow, it feels like this, and all these things come up. And you say, it might be this. Someone else's elbow said it turns black in 3 days. Don't yield to fear. Have courage. Stop magnifying little things and turning them into big things. Have a courage. Have a confident faith in God. So Jesus gets on the boat. Verse 51, and he went up into them, into the ship. The wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. So there was a lesson there. The lesson of the feeding of the 5,000. What's the lesson? That we serve a supernatural God. What's the lesson? It doesn't matter how much money you have. We serve a supernatural God. What's the lesson? If Jesus says feed them, feed them. What's the lesson? No one else is around. A God took care of all those people. They were all fed and overflow with nothing. He started with nothing. That we serve. Here's the biggest lesson right here. We serve a supernatural God, and it doesn't matter what you have or what you can do, but our God is God. And he took care of all those people in the desert. So it says they didn't consider what he did, for their heart was hardened. Here they are with Jesus. Here they are spending time with him. Can you imagine you're with the King of Kings all the time? You're with him. And hey, guess what? He lives inside of us now. He's not far away. He's inside of us. But they're with him. They're spending time with him. They look in his eyes. They talk to him. They help him. And it says, they consider not what he just did in the desert, for their heart was hardened. And this is where the Lord said, Brandon, you have a hard heart. An indication of a hard heart is this. When you believe more in the natural than the supernatural. He said, Brandon, you're more led by the natural than the supernatural. Your heart is hard. And I want you to consider some things I've done for you in the past. I want you to start bringing those up, some of the victories I brought you through. Consider those. Your heart's hard. You're led more by the natural than the supernatural. That's an indication of a hard heart. Another indication of a hard heart is how it says that they were amazed. They were, in verse 51, it says they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. So an indication of a hard heart is when they were surprised by the power and the presence of God. They should have known. They should have said, that's my God. But they should have considered what he just did in the desert and said, waves, you can't touch us. You can't sink this boat. Jesus said, I'll see you on the other side. Peace, be still. But they didn't do that. But when this happens, when all goes calm, it says that they were so amazed. And now it's just like in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, after the lame man was healed at the beautiful gate, it says, Peter says, why marvel at this? Why be surprised? Why didn't he not marvel? Why was he not surprised? Because he expected it to happen, and he knew the power in the name of Jesus, and he knew in the power of the God that he serves. He wasn't surprised. He didn't marvel because he expected it. We need to be people that are supernatural minded. And not a hard heart, but a tender heart, full of faith in our God. That was my problem. I was led more by the natural than the supernatural. I was led more by, I can't go to Hollywood. It costs a lot of money. And my own efforts, I can't do it. And the Lord was saying, do it, Brandon, do it, do it. People, and you know, it's funny, the enemy was using people. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just stay where you're at. No, I have to do it. I need my faith to grow. And I had to step out on that water and said, I will believe in you, God. And I don't want to have a hard heart, but I want to have a heart full of faith. If you're telling me to do it, I will do it. Just like when Jesus was walking on the water and his disciple goes, can I come? Can I come too? He goes, yeah, come. He started looking at Jesus. He's walking on the water. But then he started looking at the waves. He started looking at the wind. He got his eyes off of Jesus and looked at other things. We cannot afford to get our eyes off of Jesus and look at other things. But we are called to look to Jesus and get the limits off that we have set over ourselves. Maybe your mom, your dad went through this, your grandpa, and you'll never go this high. We need to shatter that tonight and put our faith in God, that he's a supernatural God, and with God, nothing is impossible. We believe you, God. We just say, yes, Lord. Childlike faith. We believe what the Word of God says. I have a nephew, and one day he goes, Brandon, Uncle Brandon, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to Mars. And you know what he said? Can I go with you? He goes, I want to go. He didn't go, oh, stop teasing me. You're just making that up. No, he believed, I want to go to Mars. Childlike faith. What God has said, we'll say, what God has said over you, what God has promised over you, that breakthrough in your body, that breakthrough in your life, that breakthrough in your job, we just say, yes, Lord. We take it. I believe it. I have a faith in you. Even David, when he went up to kill, he wanted to take out Goliath, and Saul brought him forth. And Saul goes, you know what? That's great. You have a lot of energy, but you're just a young guy. That guy, you know, Goliath, he's been a man of war since his youth. But just guess what David did? He says, I took out the lion. I took out the bear. He considered what God had did for him. And he said, God, we'll take out, I'll take out this guy as well. He considered, he brought forth the things in the past. He considered what God had done for him. The supernatural God, how God saved him from the lion, how God saved him from the bear. And it will be no different with this guy. We serve a supernatural God. Hallelujah. Worship team, you can come up here. Isn't God good? We have a fully persuading faith in God. Hallelujah. As Christians, we walk around with a faith, with a confident faith in our God. And nothing the devil might try to throw against you can stand. Because he is a loser. He lost the battle at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And the victory has been won for us. But we are not called to have heavy hearts. We're not called to have hearts full of sorrow, hearts full of regret, hearts full of envy, hearts full of jealousy, hearts just hurt, hearts even mad towards God. We're not called to have hearts that are full of unbelief, but we are called to be tender-hearted towards God and full of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we have a faith in our God. Hallelujah. And we serve a supernatural God. And we need to know that. We need to know the God that we serve. And he wants to have a relationship with each and every one of you. And just like in Ephesians, he wants to use your life as an advertisement of his glory and his power. And he hasn't just called a few people. He's calling all of us tonight. He's calling all of us to walk in this way of life, this way of faith, this way of tenderheartedness towards him, for him to use us everywhere we go. It doesn't say, the Great Commission doesn't say, go into all the world and preach at every church if you're a pastor or a preacher or a minister. No, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Everywhere we go, we show Jesus, and we are called to be tender-hearted towards him, and we serve a supernatural God, a God that is for us, not against us, and he'll never leave us. Last January, I was in Texas, and we were attending a conference. The conference was over, and we were hanging out with some friends. We went out to dinner and had coffee, and we were leaving the next morning really early. And we had a rental car, and we had to put some fuel in the rental car. So instead of doing it early in the morning the next day, I thought I'd be a good husband, you know, get some points and do it that night. And it was cold outside. I'm not going to tell you the temperature because you'll laugh. But it was cold. Just take my word. And Destiny's inside. And I'm fueling up, and I'm just talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, thank you for this time. You know, you can talk to the Lord at the gas station. And I said, Lord, thank you for this time that we had here at this conference and, you know, just taking care of us. And I heard this. I heard a noise first. And that's normal. At gas stations, you hear noises, you know, you hear all types of stuff. But I heard this out of in my spirit. Brandon, he is going to try to rob you. And that's not something you want to hear. I said, what? I want to hear, Brandon, thy good and faithful servant, I am using you. I've heard your cry, major breakthrough on the way, a year of abundant harvest. I want to hear something like that. I'm so pleased with you. I love it how you're getting gas in the night before the morning and you're being a good husband. No. I heard he's going to try to rob you. And I look and I see an individual coming towards me, hiding something, carrying something. And all of a sudden I had a moment. I wish I had these two guys with me right here. It would have been different. You too, Pastor Dieter. Colton, Mike, Michael. And I'm looking and I'm seeing this. And I said, I can't run away. Destiny's in the car. She's probably on her phone. What am I going to do? My own strength, I can't do anything. But I said, I know the God that I serve. And I know we serve a supernatural God. And I was meditating on these scriptures, how these big bad guards fell down like dead men when they saw the angel, the Lord Jehovah, show up. And I was thinking, we serve a supernatural God. So I thought, I'm going to bring Jesus in on the scene. How am I going to do that? I'm going to call on his name. So he comes up to me and I said this, do you know Jesus loves you and he has a plan for your life? He's not mad at you, but he's madly in love with you. And when I said that, he screams, I see it, I see it, I see it. It's all over you. He said, pray for me, pray for me. He said, this is not something you're talking, you're walking it. I said, yes, I'm walking it. I know you probably have encountered Christians that just talk it, not walk it by their actions, but I love Jesus and he loves you and I love you. So I'm praying for this guy. Guy gets touched by God. The whole atmosphere changed. Jesus showed up. The supernatural showed up. And I get back into the car and Destiny goes, he was going to try to rob you. And she saw more than I did. She saw a car pull up. All these guys were hiding, looking at me. The guy jumps out and comes after me. But God showed up because we serve a supernatural God, and he's looking for us to put our faith in him and take off any limits that we have. I didn't go to sleep that night. I was up all night. And I heard this scripture in my heart, Brandon, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we can say with confidence, if God be for me, who can be against me? Nothing, no problem, no weapon formed against me shall prosper because I know who I serve. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes. He's melting hearts tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you, when you spoke this, you said you will melt heavy hearts. Maybe a heart full of unforgiveness. Maybe a heart that has all these walls up. But I thank you tonight, God, that you, Holy Spirit, that your word goes like a fire, that goes off like a hammer, like as you said in Jeremiah, that you melt hearts tonight. Hallelujah. That impossible situations will become possible again. Impossible dreams will come forth again. I don't care if the doctor said there's no hope. There's hope in Jesus. He's the great physician. And he took it all for you. Jesus is speaking to you tonight. He's telling you tonight, just like he did his disciples. Why is your heart so hard? And why are you so full of unbelief? We are not called to carry any weights. We are not called to carry any burdens because he took it all for us. And he is melting hearts tonight that you will leave out these doors with a fully persuaded faith in God, with a confidence in God. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for melting hearts. moving in right now as I speak, bringing things up before people, whether it's unforgiveness, areas they've doubted you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're showing them. Hallelujah. That we won't be led by the natural, led by our five senses, but we'll be led by Jesus and the supernatural. God is so faithful. He looks at our heart. This isn't our real self. This is just an earth suit. This is just a body that carries something. Our spirit man, just like our earthly man, needs to eat meals every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Your spirit man still needs that. You don't need to feed your spirit man 2 cold snacks a week, 2 little cheese and crackers, but you feed your spirit man with the Word of God, and you build it, and you exercise your faith, and it will grow, and it will grow. God wants to turn our spirit man into these 2 guys right here, okay? That's what we need to look in the spirit, and Pastor Dieter. In the spirit, we need to be like that. Mighty men of faith. Like Caleb, he had another spirit. Joshua had another spirit. Hallelujah. He's turning us into that tonight. And it starts having a soft, tender heart towards God. Hallelujah. Let's just all stand. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this moment together, Lord. I thank you for your presence, your healing presence. I thank you, Lord, for melting hearts. I thank you, Lord, for a fully persuaded faith. And this time that we had together, that the word sown on their heart, the enemy cannot steal this time right now, or these last 2 days. The enemy cannot steal what God has sown into your heart. It says that in the word, that he tries to steal the word sown in your heart. And I thank you, Lord, tonight. The devil, the enemy cannot steal what God has planted in our hearts tonight. That we will believe in the supernatural. We'll believe in the God without limits. And we'll be so tender-hearted to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Tender-hearted towards him. Praise you, Lord. Colton, come up here real quick. I want to pray for Colton. Thank you, Lord, for Colton, mighty, mighty man of God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I thank you, Lord, for that faith. I thank you for that, your presence, Lord. Never, ever, ever, ever the same. In the name of Jesus, to be that light, to be that example, Lord. In Jesus' name. Things you're believing for, I hook my faith up with you and call it done. Even desires you haven't even told your wife, hidden things, I hook my faith up with you, and God will bring them forth, and it will be a wow moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for this time, Victory Live. In Jesus' name, amen. Even with your guys' church building, it's going to be a supernatural work. And we just have faith in God. Look at you. You guys are a great-looking congregation. A lot of people here. And what God is going to do, it's just the beginning here. And it's no coincidence this church is here in Kelowna. God's going to shake Kelowna with his presence and with his glory. And he's calling all of you tonight. Hallelujah. Our Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.